Welcome and hello. Ginger Prime here joining me today. And Cole, I ended on Brian's and I can just show up. I ended on the perfect pre-show as we
it was perfect.
A great time. I was like, oh, that's it. It's not going to get better than that. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing really good. The lots going on. Like I feel like I'm just in so many good, you know, gaming kind of moments with Dragon's Dogma 2, New World Season 5, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about on today's show and whatnot. How about you, Cole?
I'm doing amazing, and I'm right with you. Like, the hype train is starting to get going, and I'm absolutely living for all of it. Like you said, Dragon's Dogma 2, I still need to play so much more of that. What a huge game. I'm so impressed with that. Final Fantasy 14 is going to the new season. I am so hyped, and it's so great.
I finally did a little bit of diving. I downloaded Helldivers. Late to the party, but I passed on Pell World because it literally looked like a game that I wasn't going to be able to enjoy safely. I just know myself, and like you just don't get to crack the lid on that pint, because I would have just gone in until that was it. But Helldivers has been nice. It has an easy out moment. And it's like Vampire Survivors, where I feel like there are these logical moments to log out, and you have to take them. Like Vampire Survivors is like, I ended the round like every minute, and you're the one that chose to do 600 minutes in a row. Like, I didn't make you.
Oh my
God. They're short rounds. But like, how long is a Vampire Survivors round? 3 minutes? 2 minutes?
It can be 3 to 5. It's quick.
That's
the downside of Helldivers too, though.
One more. It's like, honestly, like, I need to go to bed 20 minutes ago, but like, what's the difference in 20 minutes late and 22 minutes late?
I was in the airport playing Helldivers 2 on the Steam Deck before my flight, and that's the only downside to Helldivers 2 is that you can do a mission fairly quickly, but if you get a group that wants to do like every possible side objective, I was like, guys, let's go extract because my plane is boarding.
So my first round, I get in, and my friend is, we just finished hanging out, and I come home and he's in voice chat and he's going to coach me through it. And the very first round, there is a guy in there who just runs off in a random direction. And Charlie's like, we're going this way. The objective's this way. We're going this way. It's like, all right. So I'm following Charlie. And then the other guy goes, I'm not doing that. And then the other guy runs back and then starts shooting us repeatedly and laughing.
Oh,
just friendly fire over and over.
Oh no.
And I'll just tell you, like, but like Charlie had hosted the party. So then the other guy just disappeared. And I was like, where'd he go? And he goes, I kicked him. I was like, oh, so like note to self, I guess be party lead. I don't know what the rules on that are. Like, can you anybody kick anybody? But my first experience was like, did you end up catching your plane? Because I was exposed to a reminder of like the internet's random, and it was voice chat. We just did the in-game voice chat. So the other guy's like shrieking at us and being ridiculous because anybody with a microphone can be anybody with a microphone.
Yeah, I did catch my plane, but I did have to abandon the team. So it's like, I didn't get like my experience credit. And I was like, no, we were like, I went in. I was like, oh, I have an hour until my plane needs to board. Let's run this mission. And they were like, well, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. And I'm like, guys,
an hour?
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. I did my first mission, even with the guy shooting me, was like,
you can make quick missions. Right. You can make very quick dives in Helldivers 2. But if you get paired up with people who want to do like explore every nook and cranny of the map,
all right,
you're gonna be it ends up, and it's not that it's not fun, the game's gonna throw all kinds of stuff at you, so it's not like typically if I'm sitting down playing I don't mind. It just all of a sudden happened to coincide with needing to get on a plane at the airport.
Mind blowing. Well, speaking of short things to knock out, I haven't done it yet, but I imagine that it is a short quest to knock out the Final Fantasy 16 collab crossover, ending in what seems to be a positively, I haven't been looking for too much spoiler, but it seems like it's been a positively received single player fight with some decent rewards, and I assume we'll see it come back from time to time. Did you guys get a chance to do it?
Oh, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but yeah, I did it, and I am a huge fan of the story. I think the story was brilliantly written. Like, the way that it ties in at the very end to like be like, maybe you should consider buying Final Fantasy 16. It was very clever and very smart. And hey, when it's on the PC, I will, because I've heard everyone else like blow through it. I have had people like send spoilers to me and everything. And yes, I know like the final fight and all that stuff already, sadly, but that's not gonna like dissuade me. I'm like so hyped for it. The reward.
So you enjoy the event and have not played 16.
That's what I was
exactly
curious about.
Yeah.
Very good. Very
yeah,
good.
Like it was so beautiful. And I don't feel like it spoiled anything that would happen in 16 just based on the things that I was bombarded with.
Okay.
But I also
Ryan, are you doing it?
Sorry.
So this weekend I am, because it happened to launch the same day as New World Season 5, which added in native controller support. And I'm like, oh man, I've been like, this is like 14 already had native controller support. I know how that works. But yeah, so this weekend I'm going to be stepping into the 16 crossover event and also working on my Samurai controller guide, which will complete the series for Endwalker. So that's going to be really, it's going to be really exciting.
No time like the last time, just right at the edge.
I didn't commit to a time frame. I was like, all within the, like, man, imagine if it was all within the first month.
Set the publish date to June 27th on the last guide for Endwalker.
I
servers are going offline shortly.
That'd be a good meme. Like, how to prepare for the last day of Endwalker.
This is the end. Oh, good. Good. Well, Cole, did you have anything else on the 16 thing?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt earlier. Like, the actual battle itself that you go through, which I'm going to try and say as little as possible, they have bonus actions, and there's one bonus action that lets you dodge and, like, attack in there. I swear, I hope so much that this is a mechanic that we see in, like, Viper, because it is so fun. I am such a fan of it. It was a video that I meant to do, like, 2 days ago, but life was kind of in the way. But it's, like, just me, like, I'm such a fan of the skill. It flows with the combat. It felt super rewarding. Even though I went in on Scholar, so it kind of looked a little stupid, I'm not going to lie. But I really am hoping that it makes a resurgence in like the Viper or Ninja or something, because it just fits so well into the game flow.
Good. Well, awesome. I think that's the current good news on Final Fantasy 14. So let's pivot to the other side. Xbox have been having a mixed experience. Now, before we go to Xbox, I will note, if you are not an Xbox player, currently all of the other editions are like 60% off right now. So if you have any friends that are like maybe missing some features due to the free trial, or they're getting kind of the end of the free trial and they're ready to try to catch up in time for Endwalker, it is 60% off. And so they can go ahead and feel like they're not having to pay a ton and then turn right back around and pay for an expansion. So anybody that wants to get through Shadowbringers and Endwalker content, this is kind of that time window where they've tried to make a relatively cost fair method where they can still get paid for something that is still kind of current and you get to join in. So definitely wanted to kind of highlight that for anybody that hadn't looked at it. The store is right there on the Final Fantasy 14 on the Lodestone. They have some links to the Square Enix store, which is where you can buy Windows and Mac. And then there's also the Steam version, I assume, will go on sale at its own time. They usually tie that more to like Steam sales. It gets on its own schedule. And in the PlayStation Store for those PlayStation players out there. Xbox has been going through some struggles.
Yeah, it seems like, for those of you who aren't aware, that it's integrated in with the chat. So if you are an Xbox player and you're advertising something like your free company, they think that you're some kind of porn bot advertising some free company. And because of that, in their automation system, they swept up a bunch of people. I mean, words like Thanalan are getting censored. So their AI, their AI system hasn't yet been brought up to speed with like in-game terms so that they know that. But it's wild and very inconsistent in its application. One guy got a ban for like 61 days another guy got a ban for two, and that's just what I've seen reported on the internet. And this is coming from like banned from Xbox Live, not from like Final Fantasy 14, the game in and of itself. And I found this to be both tragic and poetic at the same time, because of course, after over 10 years of waiting for this game to come to the console, this is somebody's maybe first introduction to the game. Like, oh yeah, I would love to join your free company. You are now offline.
I have seen some people in the Reddit threads are posting edits that they are getting unbanned. So it is something that is correcting. And as you noted, it's just going to be some growing pains with a new platform. But it does feel like definitely something of note right now that Xbox players likely just enjoying the free trial. Maybe they're just deciding to make the purchase. They've just pulled the trigger on buying this game so that they can actually join one of these free companies. Mm-hmm. And then of course they're getting kicked out. And as you noted, like for some people, it's not just like, it's not Square Enix's issue. It's Xbox's issue, which means getting a ban may not just affect your Final Fantasy 14 time. It affects everything you do. So,
yeah. Oh my God.
Kind of a big deal.
Outside of that, I've been enjoying the Xbox version though. So somebody was like, how are you liking it? And I was like, I'm working on unlocking achievements. The only downside to the Xbox version is that if I, let's say I switch to a job, I have to go like at least get some XP registration event so that it's like, oh, you're level 90 and thus here's your achievements that they unlock. And so I end up, having to go and be like, okay, what achievement have I not yet got? Okay, let me go and figure out how to get that to unlock. But I've been having fun getting my gamer score increased after all of this years and time invested into Final Fantasy 14.
Well, awesome. That was kind of the Final Fantasy news. There really wasn't like a wildly large amount this week. We'll have kind of highs and lows as we build ever closer to Dawn Trail. There will be some weeks where it'll be like, guys, we have 1 hour to get through the news for the week and we are going to have to go fast. But this week will be pretty light. But I saw Final Fantasy 14 show up in the title of some other articles on ESO, how they were planning to do kind of a remaster very similar to A Realm Reborn. They believed because Final Fantasy had done it, that ESO could do it. And so I've been seeing some articles about some interviews with the upcoming Gold Road hands-on previews. PSU.com, written by Chili, who's here on the show a lot, had an article put out. I read a couple other articles about like things that are upcoming in Bethesda's MMO. And I think that's an interesting kind of transition. You know, Final Fantasy had to do it a long time ago because they just screwed up royally. But we're getting to that point where you're starting to see games who haven't necessarily like just done so much catastrophically wrong at the same time have issues that when they need to go in and start making system updates or things like that. And there's a couple ways to do that. The first is like Guild Wars, put out a Guild Wars 3, which is rumored to be coming. Mm-hmm. Or the second is to do what Elder Scrolls is doing. What do you guys think this would look like?
That's a good question. Because I have played ESO, like for anyone who hasn't tried it and is into housing in 14, I cannot recommend their housing system enough. It is incredible. So I'm actually a bit of a fan of ESO for a lot of different things. I think like they've made so many good pivots. What would it look like? God, I'm not even sure if I'm honest, but I think that like I like the game as is, so I'm actually kind of hyped to hear this. This is actually news to me. I'm excited actually.
Well, the other news about it as well is they just announced it's coming to GeForce Now, and they offered me like a key, but I was like, I just don't have the bandwidth to go and check out the latest ESO expansion right now, but that's something that it'll be interesting. And then for them to kind of do like, you know, a reborn version of the game, I think that's where you start looking into crossplay and save and progression, because this was ESO was like 2007, if I'm not, you know, mistaken, or at least that's when development had been working on it. Obviously with 10 years where it probably launched in 2014. So back when they started development to when they released it, like, we've seen so much technical changes and as well as expectations with those games. Crossplay ends up being, I think, a really pivotal feature that a lot of people would really want to see. And even Chili in this interview, if you guys aren't following Moogle Go Around Radio, shout out to Chili over PlayStation Network. I believe, I'm so sorry, Chili, put the name of your publication, in chat. And he has two articles, one interview and one going over his time playing the latest expansion. So they already have controller support. They're already on console. I just want, you know, let's fix that. Cause I don't want to start over on PC. Like, I have a character that we started and we were playing back on Xbox back in the day. I would like to continue that character if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been a problem with some other games, because I also play Warframe and they just solved that issue. Well, maybe not just, it was a few, maybe it was even a year ago, but they used to have this problem where it's like, hey, I have like a PC version. Can I take it to like a different console, like say like the Switch version? And they just got like the cross save feature, and it's such a huge thing. Like, I'm usually just on PC, so I don't bump into myself, but just talking to people, it's a huge deterrent.
The first time that I got off of PlayStation and hopped onto my Mac for Final Fantasy, and everything was there. Like, there was an added step that you have to, like, update your settings to the cloud and then pull them down. Mm-hmm. Like, I just remember being blown away. Just the idea that I could pick up something and go from one platform to another, that was relatively rare. You know, like, it's cloud saves and things like that have made a lot of that better. So I know it's hard for older games to kind of make the move to that. It's frustrating when newer games don't just think that far in advance from the get-go. But yeah, I would be interested in giving the game another shot. I tried it back. I've tried a couple of times, but I tried it like when it first came out, and I enjoyed it. So like, there were people who said it's only gotten better since then. That was not its best moment. But what happened was I started playing it with friends, and the problem was I enjoyed it. And so I ended up kind of rushing to, there's like this soft cap system for like your level cap. And I ended up basically pushing up to that limit. In an MMO, think about like when you hit max level and then you have to, there's like a post progression. But then it at the time, it didn't really make sense that I could go back and play with my friends. And so we picked up the game together and we all agreed we were going to play it on Wednesday nights together. And at first there was some level discrepancy and it was no big deal. But I got so far ahead that me and my brother ended up kind of fragmented from the group. So we were in voice chat, but then we couldn't really play with them anymore. And so like, that was something where like Final Fantasy XIV's level sync system makes a lot more sense. Like, I don't need it to be wildly rewarding, but I do need it to be possible. Mm-hmm. Or not literally like killing their experience if I come back into an area, if it'll, you know, so like it needs to be something that like somebody's benefiting from us playing together. So that kind of shied me away from the game, even though that's something that I believe got fixed like multiple years ago. But it's just hard to get you back. Like, in a landscape of so many MMOs, once they burn you once, it's really hard to get you back because you've got the next game, right? And so like New World has come out since then and they hadn't burned me yet. So when I gave New World a shot, I was really slow to give New World an honest shot because I didn't want their growing pains to give me that same bad taste where I was frustrated at them for something they've long since fixed, because that doesn't feel fair. And that's how I feel towards ESO. It's a great game. And like, I can't get over my like illogical feelings towards like a negative experience that they've corrected. Like, I'm admitting, I know they corrected it, and I just can't get it out of the bad taste out of my mouth. So I'd love for like an excuse to like tell my emotional side to shut up and like, let's give this another honest go. So on that note, New World.
Yes.
Put in the title because I didn't know if you'd want to kind of catch us up on that, but there's a lot of people here that play New World. There's a lot of people that don't. Can you just give us an overview of like what season 5 is and kind of what people are thrilled about and what people are kind of maybe not?
Really, all is a perspective of how long have you been away from the game, you know, in this case, because I have called New World season 5, which officially launched this week, a foundational patch. There's not a lot of content, not a lot of meat on the bone. If you're like, man, I really want to grind out a new dungeon, or I want, you know, they have content, but it's not, it is so much more foundational. So the first and biggest thing for me is native controller support. And it works so well right out the gate. It enables me to be able to play, you know, the game easily more in more places like my Steam Deck or on my Logitech G Cloud. But then it's just also like, there's a couple of things that they still need to do when it comes to the controller, but this is a really good first pass. Somebody said, who has better controller support, New World or Final Fantasy XIV? It's like, Final Fantasy XIV still is the Cadillac experience for controller support in MMOs, hands down. However, this takes New World from a hoopty into kind of that, you know, all of a sudden maybe like a Mustang GT, where it's starting to step itself up. And I think it can actually, and probably will, be, you know, if nothing else, on par, because it took the best of what I was able to do with the tools within Steam and makes everything state aware. So it gives so much more comfort and flexibility, but there's definitely rooms for improvement. And that's really kind of where the devs are at. And I think this update alone, being that it finishes off the MSQ rework, so they've been reworking through like all of these things and listening to the feedback that players have had and implemented that feedback, this, I think, sets the stage for them to launch the game on consoles and feel really happy with its current state. Now, that isn't to say that everybody's thrilled that there is controller support. I remember getting one comment going, no one's asked for this. Why are they wasting time on controller support? I'm like, you're new around here, because from my perspective, we have a ton of people will be like, Brian, just let me know when the official controller support's there. Your guide helped out, but it's just not perfect. And I'm like, I'm with you. There's certain things I just wasn't able to do with Steam, you know, Steam tools. But that all being said is like, yeah, like, you know, so there's definitely frustration from like probably the harder core player base that is just, that's really hungry for new content. Mm-hmm. And this season isn't that. Like, if you haven't taken a break from New World, this is a great time to take a break. And a lot of people are taking that opportunity because you've obviously seen it in the player numbers and concurrent. But I think also what I've seen a lot of is like, you know, people within our own community coming back and playing New World and, you know, hopping on the server with me, and we're having a fun time. And we'll continue to do that because there is a lot to like. And if you've been away from the game for at a year, like or longer, you're actually like, you're going to be flooded with content and quality of life and so many new things to go and see, do and experience. So it just depends on how long have you been away from the game. And if you're current in the game and you're loving it, I want to talk to you because that's not the experience that I've seen online. I'm sure those people exist, but that is what it is. Is there any other questions? Do y'all have any questions about it? Because I can help answer.
So when the game first came out, it sounded like lateral progression. Now all games are lateral progression at the beginning in that there is no vertical yet. Not every patch, you know, it's not hard for a game to not increase the item level every patch. That's a choice. Yeah. Some games do it, some games don't. But when you release an expansion, that's when we find out, is this going to be more lateral or are we going to set a new bar? In which case, we've now set the trend that every expansion will be a new slow vertical climb and we will push out with the old. It has been revealed that New World is a vertical progression game.
It's a bit of both, though, like because like they have the artifact system from a collection, which adds like horizontal. So if you think of the idea that I've proposed for 14's relic system, where you have like this item that you can get, it can augment how you play. There's an item, for example, for tanks that basically says you don't need a carnelian gem. So that opens up your gem slot to be more focusing around damage, for example. So it can fundamentally change your build. But yes, the level cap did go up to 65. Yes, the gear score is 700. So they look like they're going in kind of both directions and different directions at different times. The gear score isn't going up every patch, but they're adding in more things to go and try and collect to change up your build. And then essentially probably this fall, we might see the level cap or a gear score increase. So it's kind of like, you know, every patch
does this. Warcraft and its early expansions did this. Where there were enough things to acquire that you felt like you had lateral progression within a current expansion, but when the next expansion came out, you did have work to do. You need to grind up to a new cap. You don't get to just log in and immediately be powerful again. You're not. You're back at the bottom and you need to climb your way back up. So that was my question, is do these seasons result in gear score increases? Do these result in new things on the loot table? Is there anything for people that do want to progress? Or was So just no new dungeon, but there are
no new dungeon,
but there are new things.
Things to go and chase after. And that's actually what I've been personally focusing in on is the artifact hunt. I'm like, they have a new artifact called Phoenix.
Okay.
And I'm like, I really want to get that because as a healer, like if you take damage that will kill you, it basically is like the Dark Knight Living Dead kind of perk. Yeah.
Cool.
So I was like, oh, I got to give me some of that. Like, so
that's good.
I'm on the grind of like, there's things that I'm chasing that I'm excited about and excited to chase.
Good. Well, sometimes times like that are nice. I mean, Final Fantasy runs into that basically every 0.5. I mean, and it's your longest patch cycle where the game is wildly optional, which there's something nice about that. Like there's something. My grandma got married at like 17 or something like that. She was engaged at 17 and then it didn't work out. And she was on the rebound and she met a guy and he said, I'm going to the Navy next week. And this new dating thing is going kind of nice. You want to get married? And then they just went and did that. And that was and they got to the court and they went down to the Navy base together. So she got on a bus, had never left her small little town, got on a bus, went to the Navy base with this man that she didn't really know. She's looking over him at the bus and she goes, I don't really know this guy. She gets there. They're in line and there's a line to get married before they ship these boys off to war. This is like a regular thing. All these guys are getting married so that they have a wife when they get home. and they've got all these young women with them at this military base who I have decided this is a plan A. And they realize we don't have a witness. Like, you have to have a witness to get married. So they turn around to the people in line and they say, do you guys have a witness? And they're like, no. And they're like, will you guys be our witness? And so after 50 years of marriage, they went and saw them again and that other couple, and they're still in touch. They were still in touch with them.
Oh my God.
And that's how they met them, was like, you guys were witnesses for us. We'll be witnesses for you. Hi, we're all just meeting each other. This is chaos. And so all this to say, like, my sister was going to get married to her first kind of serious boyfriend. And we were all like, hey, that's not always a great plan. Like, it can work out, but like, you are just hoping for a natural 20 roll. You could try dating a little more, get to know yourself a little better, get to know what's out there, you know, could be a better way to hedge your bets. And she said, well, grandma got married and it worked out. We're like, you should call grandma. And we called her and she's like, yes, we were married 50 years. I wasn't happy for the first 20 of them. And I thought I made a huge mistake, but there were no options. And so like, it became a beautiful thing. And it's this beautiful marriage and it's been inspirational. But a lot of the reason it lasted is because it was a marriage of necessity. She's like, at that time, divorce wasn't a thing. She couldn't have just gone back home to her family. Those were not options. And so there's a lot of their 50-year marriage that's really beautiful, and you could write poems about it now, but there's a lot of early years that really weren't that beautiful. It's just two people sticking together because they had to. And so like, that made me appreciate like times when life is optional, because that's what tells me whether or not I want something. You can't decide if you want something when you have to have it, because you'd be there regardless. And it's like, I like the 0.5 cycle in Final Fantasy 14. I like these patches that you're talking about in New World, because this is when you find out who wants to be here. You don't have to be here.
Yeah.
You know, like I married a woman that's perfectly capable of being wildly successful without me. And there's something nice about knowing that she chooses to be in the other room because she wants to be here. She could leave at any time. Like she's not bound. And so like, that's, so like, I kind of like these patches. I know people get frustrated in games like New World when there's like a time like that, because you're like, well, I want a reason to be here. It'll come back. There will be a time where you feel obligated, but just kind of enjoy the fact that like, you are in New World exactly the number of days you want to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm having a blast with it. I'm having a blast with, like I said, at the top of the show, Dragon's Dogma 2. There's also some really cool games that are on the horizon, and I'm just trying not to make sure I stretch myself out too thin, which is a part of kind of my personality quirks, where it's like all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, what did I commit myself to? But yeah, I'm looking also forward to No Rest for the Wicked. But yeah, so I'm sitting down and just kicking back, relaxing, and having fun. I've been, you know, farming some open world bosses, and basically I think what will make it much more efficient is that if I do that while live, because then people might come and join me. But soloing some of these bosses is like, it's, you know, it's a function of patience.
Okay. Well, good. That's kind of like where I'm at, is we're playing other games. We're all playing exactly what we want to, when we want to, as we get through this season of MMO transition, where there's kind of new games coming online. The old ones are going through these transitions into new chapters. You know, World of Warcraft has a plan for their, that's a long transition. Like, hey, we got to make some changes. Can you give us 3 expansions? it's a really honest take.
WoW might launch this summer as well, right?
Oh God.
I am having trouble keeping an eye on the date, is an honest answer. I've been so focused on Dawn Trail.
I think that's what Chili, like they're, it's this year.
Between August and October, War Within.
It is.
Oh. I was going to keep my eye off of it until June and then say, okay, how long do I have with Final Fantasy before I can start balancing the two again? Their pre-patch events are really fun. I've always liked them.
Yeah.
So, okay, August.
Man, that's going to be nuts. Especially like, you know, thank goodness we're not like Ultimate Raiders, or where you're like, oh, wow,
no.
Like, raiding scene. Oh, now I have to do what? Get ready for 2 games?
There's been some drama in 14 around the kind of Ultimate scene.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Arthur's has been poking the bear. So there's been some drama around like, effectively, and this is not a new sentiment or a new statement, so some of the things that I'm seeing quoted are older, but there is this idea that Yoshi-P is aware of the World First Race, and there are a lot of good reasons that those races should not be official, and they're not. The World First Race in WoW and in 14 are not official by any stretch, and you don't want them to be for a lot of other reasons. But, you know, that doesn't mean the devs aren't a fan and they don't watch them. But they don't want to develop for them specifically because they don't represent the majority of the population, and they result in some really bad behavior when you see raid tiers get a little too good at being for the World First Race and being more spectatable. They tend to then lose some of their playability for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. But in recent history, Final Fantasy 14 has been accused of having a lot of cheating in it. Now, historically, there's been a stereotype of Final Fantasy fans throwing it in WoW's face that our game doesn't need add-ons, our game doesn't need add-ons. But the Savage and the Ultimate population within Final Fantasy 14 does have a lot of add-on usage. It just does. And that doesn't mean it's everybody. That's not to normalize it, but it is definitely present. Now, my understanding of the situation is that you are getting to the point where portions of Party Finder are beginning to set this to where it's an expectation.
Yep.
And to where it's openly communicated, and that in some cases it's involuntary, which means you've now taken something that was kind of behind the scenes and it's like, well, I know it's against the rules, but it's not hurting anybody, right? I live in a certain state and I smoke and drink things inside my own home that I'm not allowed to, but it's just me. It's here. It's my own space. I'm speeding when I'm the only car on the road. Like, I'm not hurting anybody. So just let me break the rule silently by myself. I know it's a rule and I won't do it when other people are around, but just let me live my life. But now we've shifted to where people are saying, okay, but I've been doing it by myself for a long time, so I'm just going to do it in front of you and you better do it too. And that's a pivot. And so my understanding is that you're starting to see a sentiment from the dev team that we've heard in the past. If it gets to the point where we believe that we've designed something to be done without cheating and people are all just going to cheat, why would we do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this idea that this Party Finder behavior that's happening will lead to us getting less or possibly even no ultimates, because the ultimates are known over and over and over in these dev interviews to burn out devs and to be incredibly exhausting and to be these labors of love. They're done. Mm-hmm. They're cleared by a very small percentage of the population. So you don't really have a ton of evidence that they have a good return on investment as far as the amount of money put into them and the amount of money that they get back out of player subscriber hours and new player growth. So like, there would be a real argument for, if we don't like doing it and you guys don't appreciate it, we're just not going to do it anymore. And that's where you're starting to see some frustration break, because there are people who are saying, you said you were going to cheat by yourself and I chose not to say anything.
Mm-hmm. But
now, you know, people that are starting to get really like, you don't have a certain parse, if you don't play with a certain add-on, if you don't, that's getting really forceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the raider here, Cole. What do you think?
How bluntly can I comment? And I'm not allowed to use any names. So don't use names of the things.
That's right. Sure.
Okay. So I have done UWU in PF, and using AM is absolutely expected. You will not get a Party Finder to fill if you do not have someone, or like have it listed as someone bring Allegan Melon, someone bring Alize's mom or something like that. It will literally not fill. And I'm not even joking, because I myself hosted so many parties and I tried to not use it. For the record, if anyone's wondering, hey, did you personally need it? I main tanked that fight. And the specific mechanic is Titan Jails, which is just one of the phases. And the main tank doesn't need to even use it. So it's basically for the rest of the group. Like, I never needed to worry about that. But the group literally wouldn't fill unless it had it. And there were some times when no one would have it, even though it was like in the Party Finder description as, hey, can someone bring Allegan Melon? And the party literally disbanded after like a few wipes to jails. And that was an absolute expectation. Now, another fight that I did do was the Epic of Alexander in Party Finder. And it never needed, when I did it, auto markers or whatever, it didn't at all. But there are a lot of players that I've seen that are trying to force it in there, and to me it makes the mechanics way more confusing. Like, you get a string of debuffs at certain phases and then they're just like, hey, you need to have these markers tell you where to go. But I'm like, it actually is kind of counterintuitive to me, because it's like, that's just adding another layer of abstraction on top of the debuffs, which if you learn how to read it is super duper easy. But what I think is probably the most egregious example is currently the Omega Protocol, which I haven't cleared, and I may in the future try it. Right now I'm trying DSR, but for the Omega Protocol, there's a lot of mechanics where you can kind of get any kind of role or any kind of mechanic that you need to resolve. Like, it's not so set as tanks will get this, healers will get this, DPS will get it. It's a lot more shuffled around. And so auto markers really is being used to kind of like jackhammer through the mechanics and do all of the resolving. Well, not all the resolving literally, but it's doing a lot of heavy lifting. Whereas like for Uwu, it was Titan Jail specifically. For T, God, I don't even know why I said there. Get it out there. That would just confuse the heck out of me if it popped on my head personally. And I farmed it for anyone who's watching. Like, I farmed all my weapons and extra tomes. Like, it just confused me. But for top, it's like people are just jackhammering some mechanics with that. Like, not even looking at the debuffs. They're just looking above their head and they're like, auto marker. And it's like, oh my God, just because I have so many friends that like farm it on like Twitch and stuff. And I'm like, this is bizarre. So I think that just being the newest ultimate and undeniably the hardest ultimate, it's kind of weird to watch. Like, I'm personally not disturbed by it. Like, if someone wants to do that, all the power to them. Like, it's not how I would want to do it, but it doesn't like upset me. But I can see why someone having that expectation would be bad, because it's like what I said with the Uwu group. You will not get that PF to fill unless you have Alec and Melon. Like, you literally can't. So I'm sure that a lot of paint layers are frustrated about that there, but for top especially, just because it's peppered throughout so many different phases, I could see that being so irritating. Like, I couldn't see myself go to T and be like, we need AM, and it's like, what is this for above my head? I'm so confused. Oh, that's for limit cut. Me like, wait, what? Like, I already had the four like dots. Sorry, I digress. But as someone who's actually done this stuff, it's like, well, not top, so... too many friends that don't talk.
Now, Rin in chat says, I know Square Enix doesn't want to police the use of add-ons, but it's obvious action they should take versus just go high and right and not make ultimates, because it makes them sad when people use add-ons. And I know that they have an initiative where they're looking at like the popular add-ons to see what kind of tools they can just build into the core of this game. And so my question to you guys is not only on what Rin is talking about here, but have they added in chat bubbles yet?
No. It's a weird behavior though. I mean, well, keep in mind the technology for chat bubbles is already there, because you see random people in like Ulda and stuff with chat bubbles.
Right.
Yeah. So like we know the technology exists because it's already in the game. It's just not something that we can control the amount of it that takes place with settings, as opposed to there are third-party ways to just force that. That creates a weird behavior where there's this idea that there's this illicit group of people out there that are these like saviors who are helping playtest all the things that we want by being on the cutting edge. And then a few of them will get banned because they'll do it too publicly. They'll fly too close to the sun. They'll get funding for it or something like that. And then we'll turn right back around and implement their ideas into the game. Like, as a weird form of thank you, is like, hey, this game that we deleted your character to now has the feature that you developed for the community. So like, it's, and like, I don't know how far those bans have gone. I don't know if they're all just temporary bans or if anybody's permanently lost a character to them. But like, it's definitely frustrating that the add-on community, the solution has been like, well, they're working to implement your add-ons. It's like, no, there has to be a better feedback mechanism than like, we only get the features that people develop illicitly. There has to be other ways. But I know that like with this, it's been really hard because they design these things to be clearable without add-ons. DPS meters are definitely wildly helpful. I think it's weird to me that the game, it keeps such a distance from those in PvE, and then in PvP just shows you everybody's everything,
right?
With all of their names and all of that. Like the whole argument against harassment is like, okay, so you've taken the most toxic part of the game and you've given me maximum capable ability to harass, and you've taken the most collaborative part of the game and you've said, well, you might be mean to each other. Like, it
could just
like
show
weird...
your exactly. own number, right? Like, they could create the tool, because with the add-on it can show you everything, but if they just built it into the game to kind of show you, and I don't even need it in real time, like at the end of the content, like you could then say, like, imagine if they built in XIV analytics to be like, hey, like, this is like your score and number and stuff like that, and it's just tailored to you, then you know, like, oh, last time I didn't do as good. Okay, all right. You know, then you can start making those kind of design decisions about how you want to try to improve. But I keep harping on that, and I'll let
no,
you guys
know. When I first started progression rating in World of Warcraft and I started going down the add-on hole, I put on DPS meters, and like I found that I actually wanted my DPS meter to be hidden. There were settings that would make it high during the content, and then when the fight ended, the meter would show up on screen, and so I couldn't see it. And then I didn't start showing my meter regularly on screen until I became a DPS lead and I was responsible for other people. But until I had to be making call outs mid fight, it wasn't helpful information, and it was just one more thing for my eyes to be distracted by. And you should just be doing what you plan to be doing. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, well, now I'm going to start playing better. You should be doing that regardless. So like, the meter wasn't informing me of anything. So I had it hidden. So like, there's a lot of arguments there, but the whole idea that they don't show it in PvE because you'd be able to see other people's information, like, oh, well, then just show me mine. That doesn't hold any water, because in PvP, we show all of it.
Right.
Yeah, which is so counterintuitive. It's like...
So, yeah, I had to hide mine because it made me greedy. I had to hide them because of what Val's saying. Sorry. We're both pulling the same comment. I had to hide my meter because of this, because it would make me greedy. And so I could focus on playing better and then just let it be. Because I was trying to get the number a little higher, and they'd say stop DPS, and I'd try to put out just, oh, but my next hit's a guaranteed crit or something like that. And it's and it's like, no, they said stop DPS, stop DPS. So it just made me a better player to hide my meter. So, and that was just for me. I'm not a great player in the first place, so I'm not at all saying like I'm an authority on this. But like, I can understand the devs not wanting to now be put in charge of policing something that they didn't want people to do in the first place. But there is an argument for like, okay, what do you do? What do you do? Like, how do you deal with this moving forward? Because to continue to ignore it is just letting people get madder and madder and madder and madder. And the PvP community has had to try to deal with this, and the numbers are so public in game. And the PvE community has had to try to deal with this, and they've had to do it entirely behind closed doors. And the response has been some really crazy add-ons. Like, there's some crazy stuff out there. It's not just a damage meter. And it's a really variety of experience. And there's an argument of like, well, then the people I watch stream don't do it. It's like, well, how do you know the people in their party aren't doing it? How do you know?
Well, when Julie was playing and we were all playing back in the day, like, I was on PlayStation and she was wanting me, you know, so we would parse just so that she could, you know, feel more confident in kind of her damage. Cause she was always like, am I doing enough? Cause like that's actually where I think a lot of people that type of personality doesn't necessarily get brought up in this discussion enough, is that there are players that are like, I want to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can, as opposed to like, you know, pointing the finger saying the reason we didn't win is because of you. But it's like, they're like, I don't know what I don't know, and the game doesn't tell me. And then people just say, read the tooltips. And it's like, the problem is you can read the tooltips and you can actually interpret it incorrectly, or you might not know how some of this synergizes. So reading the tooltips is a good step.
And they all sound good. You know, engulf your enemy in inferno. And you're like, wow, that sounds amazing. And it's like, but the fire damage in this game is garbage. And it's like, so I agree. And nobody wants to suck. Like, that doesn't mean everybody wants to be like a sweaty, diehard top 1%er, you know, sponsored to play on platforms and go to competitions, but nobody wants to actively suck. It doesn't mean that you want to necessarily do all the things necessary to get better. And so some games ask a lot more of you than others, but like, I play Age of Empires with my friends once or twice a week now. And last night I hopped on and practiced some Hera build orders. I didn't really find it fun. I didn't really look forward to doing it. I set it about an hour and a half time and I did it, but I did it because my friends are starting to get better and it's not fun to lose to them. So like, it was like a workout. Like, I literally sat down to practice something and I just sped through like my early pre-castle build orders just so that I can start to have fun. Cause I was getting smashed in our 4v4s this week. And that makes it not just not fun for me, but it's not fun to be on a team with me. If like, I get, you know, like, it worked out fine when I was in the pocket, but if I get put on one of the end spots and somebody attacks me, my whole team was just getting steamrolled because I was making similarly early mistakes. So I can understand that, like, I want ACT, not because I actually want to be that diehard, but because I just don't want to hold my friends back. Like, they're making all this progress. And when we hit Enrage, I don't want that to be the first moment that we find out that my DPS is 1 and it should be 10,000. Like, I get it. But they've got to start. I think at some point we're going to have a more open conversation about how add-ons are used, because the just don't use them doesn't feel like that's going to hold long term.
Well,
clearly it's not.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
abstinence is not working.
I think.
So, I don't know. They've tried.
True. I think that in terms of like the damage meters and stuff like that, and it's like, how to say it, like a lot of people that don't raid do look at the raiding scene and they immediately point and say, oh, they're toxic, they're going to be elitist, they're going to use the meters against them. But like 90% of the people that I've ever interacted with in raiding, and I'm talking about people who have like cleared all the ultimates, people that I've gone to like for mentorship, like there are so many amazing people there, most actual successful raiders have that growth mindset where they're doing that same thing as like Julian. It's just like, how is my damage? Am I actually contributing? How can I improve? It's like that growth mindset. Whereas you hear a lot of toxic people, and I'm not going to name names, but in the past, in my own group, had some people who were very, what is the term of Dunning-Kruger effect? We'll put it that way. And it's just like very, very high on themselves. And then they would like use the meter and then they would like poke fun at like my ex and stuff like that, and it was just like, but you're not doing too hot yourself. But I never said that. But it's just like most raiders use it for growth, and I think that's one thing that needs to be like brought up in any discussion like this. Like, I don't know many respected raiders in the slightest that would go onto like a damage meter and like dump on someone who's actually trying, whereas it's like PlayStation players or like console players now, because we're expanded to Xbox, they're at a definite disadvantage because they don't have access to any of this tooling. And I'm not talking about stupid auto markers, which I never want to see in any of my T groups. Just like the damage meters and being able to break it down, because I know XIV analysis was brought up earlier in the conversation. That is such a powerful tool, especially if you're a healer. You have all these different cooldowns, and it's like, hey, as White Mage, how many times are you using Aquavir? How many times are you using Divine Benison? Maybe you could use a Benediction at this time to like save resolve this mechanic. And like, basically shifting all of your on GCD cooldowns to like off GCDs. Like, these tools aren't really given to console players, and I think that there is so much that like the development team on 14 could do to help like all players, because I'm really interested in seeing like all of my numbers broken down to like the finest detail. It's just like, okay, if I'm playing Scholar, how much is my chain stratagem actually doing? And like, is like someone like, say, a summoner using their Bahamut burst window inside the chain stratagem or not? Like, these are things that I, as someone who raids with, like, really wants to know. And especially like a raid leader will want to know. It's just like, hey, especially because we historically like P8S Hephaestus, phase one specifically, it had such a hard DPS check that any raid leader would want to know. And like that kind of thing, it's not like to punish someone, but it's like the growth mindset of, hey, could you consider like just scooting up that rotation a little bit more because you don't fit into the raid buff window, and then we can maybe go past this DPS check. And most raiders, I cannot emphasize enough, are of that growth mindset. Like, I know so few people that use it as like a cane to wax. And no, I hate that mentality.
And that's why it was so fun to watch the Xeno stuff, because like he really does try to top the meter for himself.
Yeah.
But as soon as somebody else was using it to belittle people, he kind of turned into this hero of the people and was just ready to smash them.
Yeah.
Most people are closer to Lamatad, who got like a great bill of health this week. So be sure to go tell him.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank God.
For so, one year, man. That's been so wild. I'm so glad he's doing better. Like, yeah. that was terrible. That scared me personally. I was just like, because we are the same age. So I was like, holy crap.
And he has a lot of the same like lifestyle things that I was going through at the same time.
You know? Yeah.
And so like, I knew better. Like, I just, due to like people in my life, I knew there were some things I needed to change about my life, but it was easy to just say, but it's fine. Like, but my body will just deal with it. And that's not true. So, but as far as 14 news goes, we will have a big stream next week, 14-hour broadcast. And it starts like 9 o'clock at night.
I think 9 Pacific. I think 11 o'clock Central. It's really close to that midnight.
Late. We'll be covering at least the live letter portion. This was asked a little bit earlier. We'll be covering at least the live letter portion. That'll be long because this one will be in English. And then as it gets later into the show, I have not always found it fun to kind of co-stream that entire event. You know, if you want to enjoy it, by all means do it. But I don't know that we'll be live for all of that. But I think we talked about 14. We talked about other games. Came back to 14. I think it's time to pivot to 20 questions.
Ooh, all right.
So I am ready when you guys are.
Cole, first question to you, sir.
Was it before or after 2015?
when it can released. Only he has to say yes or no.
Oh, sorry. Was it released before 2015?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Was this a console exclusive?
Yes.
All right, sweet.
Console exclusive. Was it a role-playing game?
No.
Ooh, okay. Was this released on the Super Nintendo?
No.
Okay.
Was it released on the PlayStation?
No.
Oh, shoot.
Hmm.
It's five questions. Rapid fire.
Is the publisher Japanese?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm trying to think of a good one. Darn. Publisher Japanese. Is it a like strategy or tactical kind of game?
No. It is not a... I assume you're referring to genre there.
Yeah, sorry.
Was it released on the original Nintendo, the NES?
No.
Okay, cool. All right.
Is that eight?
Yeah.
Shoot. I don't want to ask a dumb question, though.
There's no dumb questions.
Would it fall under the shooter genre?
No, it's not a shooter. It's nine. Mm.
I like Izzy in chat says, was it released like on a CD or Blu-ray type disc?
Yes, it was released on a disc.
All right, that rules out the N64.
10. Yeah. So it was released on a disc. That's a good question.
The console question also is like a time frame question. Like, okay, like.
Yeah. I'm just scared about asking another console question. I kind of want to, though. Was it released on Xbox?
No.
So that means, so from less than 2015, so that means it could theoretically be the PS2, the PS3, I don't remember when the PS4 came out, maybe the PS4 or the GameCube. Do we want to try to go with the kind of which system it was released on, Cole, or should I ask like a genre of the game?
We could try that. Maybe genre.
Okay. Is this a fighting game?
No.
But ooh, man, no. Woo.
Darn.
They're never hard once you know what the game is.
Yeah.
But. Right? But it's so I don't want to limit it like that. No. God, what should I ask?
Oh, what if it was a handheld? I didn't even think about bringing in the PS4, PSP, which had the UMD disc format.
Oh, yeah, that was on a disc. I didn't even think of that. So I'm just reviewing all the answers so far. I want to say,
was this a PlayStation family system?
Oh, for me to ask?
I'm just thinking out loud right now.
Oh, sorry.
If you don't, I plan to. Unless we figure it out.
Maybe I should steal that question, but you already have that question. Was it released before 2005?
No.
Is this a PlayStation family system?
No.
Oh, okay.
Or team.
Oh god.
It's a disc. I mean, that I think puts it into the GameCube. I forgot about the Dreamcast. But he said 2005. So Dreamcast, they shut that thing down after 2 years. So we have a 10-year span, 2005 to 2015, when this game was released from a Japanese publisher on a disc-based system that is not a fighter, an RPG, a tactical strategy game, a shooter.
Yeah, and it was console specific.
Yeah, it's a console exclusive. So that, in my mind, I think we're talking GameCube. I don't know if we want to confirm that at all.
Yeah. Did we? Sorry, I'm trying to look if it was not released on Xbox.
I think we already asked it was on Xbox and they ruled out.
Yeah, the answer was no. So yeah, it would probably be a GameCube game.
Or a 360. Now I think about it, because we didn't ask Xbox family.
Oh no. I didn't realize.
Like, wait a minute. I ruled out Xbox when you asked Xbox. Damn their naming conventions.
Right? Darn it. Was the console any kind of Nintendo system?
Yes.
All right. That's GameCube. That was the only disc. Is this a racing game?
No.
Oh, man. What genre are we talking about here?
That's 16.
I guess action adventure or, you know, the GameCube. Are we thinking Zelda? Would you I guess clarifying question, would you classify the Zelda series as an RPG?
Yeah, I go off of what the genre is on Wikipedia.
Okay. Or horror or we didn't even talk about platformer. Thank you, chat.
So, I go off of the genre within Wikipedia.
Or the Wii. Oh yeah, the Wii had a disc as well. When did the Wii come out? Let's see here. GameCube came out in 2001, so it would be late in the GameCube life. Okay. All right. Yeah, and GameCube came out in 2006, so right within our... Sorry, Wii came out right within 2006, right within our wheelhouse.
I'm trying to Google, like, possible things because I don't want to mess up the last four questions.
They're at 16. Nothing. And so, like, every time I'm like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to stump you guys at 16. So when you guys start, like... The best is when you start devolving. Like, if you guys can disagree with each other, and I only have four questions left, it's like, game on.
Game on.
Oh. Because I'm looking at a very specific game, and I'm, like, a few of them, and I'm like, there is no way that it is Chibi Robot or Bait and Kaitos. That's not me asking a question. That's just me saying, there's no way.
Like, Japanese publisher, Nintendo system, not a fighter, RPG, racer, shooter, you know, I think that leaves like an action adventure or platformer as the only two possibilities. Being it's a Nintendo exclusive, that does kind of start putting it into like the Kirby or the Mario kind of, you know, wheelhouse. Could be something like, it could be a sports game, like maybe like Wii Sports, you know, or, you know, something along those lines. So that's just where I'm thinking. I don't know if you have any. Or horror, as Chili says, it could be a horror game, which I guess could be like something like Eternal Darkness if it was a horror game, because that was, but I think that was GameCube exclusive, but I still, let me look at the release date. That was 2022, so not that.
Like, there's some games that I'm thinking of, like Pikmin, but it was released in 2004.
That would be a puzzler, right? It would be classified puzzler.
Oh, would?
Well, there's other Pikmin, too.
Oh, true.
Yeah, Pikmin 2 came out in April 2004. What about Pikmin 3? 2013. What was that? When the Switch isn't seven. No, it's not. Has been out that one. It's Cole's question, right?
Oh, you can take it if you have any idea.
Okay, is this a platformer?
No.
Oh,
HUD.
Oh no!
It does cut out a bunch of games though, because Nintendo, that's a lot of Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys burned a bunch on specific platforms.
Darn my hubris. Like, oh, we got
if you get it right, it's great, but it's a big gamble.
Well, I was thinking more from like the publishing time frame, you know, so it's like, okay, cool.
I feel like totally stumped.
I think our best and only hope is to figure out what genre this is in.
In general, like, role-playing game would be like the same thing as like action adventure, right?
I would classify action adventure and role-playing as two different games.
Oh shoot.
Personally, I don't know if Chris would.
I go off what Wikipedia says.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's less opinion based.
That's fair.
So I pull the game up in Wikipedia. That's where I get any dates from. So if it had multiple release dates in different markets, that always kind of cleans that up.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Wii U is 2012. I forgot about that system.
Like, all the games that I'm pulling up on, like, Google do not make sense. These are very, very, very much games that I'm like, wait, what is this? So I don't think that they would be it.
Like, I don't know if it would be something so obscure that, like, we could never, you know, like, oh, yeah, we've never heard of that one.
Yeah, like, it's got to be something obvious and, like, none of these names.
That's what makes it fun. Like, it can't be a game you've never heard of. That's not fun.
Right?
The idea is that you both go, I can't believe we didn't get it.
That is exactly how I feel. Like, that's why I'm just like, nope, it can't be this. Nope, it can't be that.
Do you have a question, Cole?
I'm trying to think of one. I'm just scrolling through lists of like possible games and just going, nope.
You mind if I take another one?
Absolutely.
Is this a sports game?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We got two questions.
Okay, so it is a sports game.
Yep. There's Wii U and there's Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resorts. There's two versions of that game.
Mario Superstar Baseball. That's not the question. That's just me spitballing.
Why should it be like Mario Golf, Mario Tennis?
That would be funny. Because I don't want to lose. So I'm trying to actually go through these lists.
It can't be Mario Tennis because Mario Tennis came out in 2004 and the next one came out in 2015.
I mean, there's Super Mario Baseball in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
He's
phoning a friend. Two left.
Right? And that's why I'm like, shoot.
And I could win.
Oh, no.
Do you have any question for him? I have a couple questions. I just don't want to steal the last bit of it and take us down the wrong round.
Steal them because now I'm passing through the list. I'm like, oh, shoot. I don't know.
Was this a Wii launch title?
Yes.
Thank God.
Oh.
There's only one. Cole, do you want to try to dunk it on it for us?
I don't actually know what the game name is, but I'm
we've stated it.
The Wii U thing?
No. I said, was this a Wii launch title? And the Wii launched with one, you know, like one sports game. And it was called Wii Sports.
Oh. Sorry.
It's up to you.
Was it Wii Sports?
It was on the 20th question.
I'm sorry. I'm like the worst.
At one point, you guys were confident that it had to be the GameCube. And you guys had ignored all of Sega, the Wii U, and the Wii, and the PSP, and so it has to be the GameCube. And I was like, I love that they left not just the correct platform, but multiple platforms. Like, I had so many hiding places. Like you're, oh, well, we missed the Wii, and then somebody's like, and the Wii U. Like, oh my god. Yeah, you're right, it has to be the GameCube. Follow that line of thought forever.
Oh my goodness.
My Achilles heel. Wii in sports games. Me like, what's this?
And actually, every question you asked, I would have taken Wii Sports Resort as a correct answer.
Okay.
I try to take, like, unless it was significant, I've been trying to pick the original game, not the sequel. Unless the sequel drastically changed it in some way.
Makes sense.
Where it would be a different game.
That was a great
trying to pick the original.
That was a great pick, Chris. Oh my gosh. And we creeped it out end.
Smart. Yeah. Whew.
To be fair, everybody missed the Wii U.
Oh my god.
Oh, that was fantastic. Well, I'm gonna go get my official weigh in here in a couple of minutes. So if
3 pounds a week.
Drop it. Yep, that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. That was fun. It was the only time we've had it at the 20th question. Oh, is he called Wii Sports? Like, probably 25 minutes ago.
Oh my god.
Izzy gets it every week. Didn't get Helldivers. Okay. Yeah. Those recent ones are hard. Mm-hmm. The recent ones are hard. And then I try to pick games that, like, would be in everybody's wheelhouse. So I don't want to, like, stump
you guys. Something where somebody has at least heard of, as opposed to, like, yeah.
So the time I picked Helldivers, we were, like, talking about Helldivers. it was right there. Like, we talked about it in the show, and then it was the game.
Right. That was actually
felt fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you guys. Next week is next week the live letter?
Yes.
Okay. So we're gonna adjust the show for that. So next week the show will be centered on live letter time. So otherwise we're always filming these live on Fridays around the same time, unless we have to adjust for a specific guest or anything like that. And or a live letter in this case. So we'll see you guys next week for the live letter. We'll still post them and stuff. So any of you that are watching this in the past, it'll still be broadcast after the fact. But if you're wondering why it wasn't uploaded, it's because it's getting filmed at a different time. You guys have a great week. Thank you so much. We appreciate all the support across all the platforms. It's fun to see the live viewers all the way, even on X. Love you guys on X. It's crazy. A wild place over there.
It is.
There's some deep rabbit holes over there. I fell down one this week. I was like, I gotta get out of here. Talk to you guys later.